Okay, today's daf is Bab Metzia, daf Kuf Aleph. We left off in mid-sentence, so to speak, on daf Kuf Amid Beis. We are at the word Teda, which is about 10 lines before the lines get wide. And what the Gemara is going to try to prove is that Rav Sheshes' explanation of our Mishnah is going to be incorrect. And the way we're going to prove that is we have to prove that a mayor holds that you're not, that ain't nishba in al karkos. Because Rav Sheshes was assuming that a mayor would hold you can be nishba al avadim, that an eved is like metaltlin in the sense that it's not like a shtar, that you could be nishba al avadim, and an eved has the same din as karka. So if we can prove that a mayor holds ain't nishba in al karkos, we will have disproved Rav Sheshes. So teda, ditnan, a mayor, omer yesh dvarm shein ki karka, ve'einan ki karka, that there are certain things that are like karka, but also not like karka. Ve'ein chacham modim lo, and the chachamim disagree with Rav Meir on that point. Ketzad, what are we talking about? Like karka, not like karka? What's that? What does that mean? Yud gifadim tu unos masarti lach. If someone makes a taina, I gave you 10 vines full of grapes, va'alo amer inan el chamesh. And the person responds, no, you only gave me 5. So it sounds like a modu b'miktsas. The only thing is, a modu b'miktsas only swears midaraisa when it's not karkas, right? So Rameir Mechayiv, well, assuming Yenishman al karkos, Rameir Mechayiv, Rameir would say, you do swear, v'chamam kalamachubu l'karka reo kikarka. And the chamam say, no, you don't swear because the grapes are mechubu l'karka, and therefore they have a din of karka, and Yenishman al karkos. So it sounds from here so far that clearly the Chachamim hold you don't swear on Karka, but we're trying to prove that Rav Meir holds you don't swear on Karka. So why does Rav Meir disagree with the Chachamim? Why does Rav Meir think you swear in this case? So theoretically you could have had two possibilities. Either Rav Meir says that you swear in this case because even though it's Karka, he holds you swear in Karka, which wouldn't be very helpful to us. Or no, it does not have a din of Karka because it's something that's mechubar l'karka, but it doesn't have a din of karka because the grapes are fully ripened, and therefore they don't have a din of karka, even though they happen to be attached to the ground. But had it been karka, Rav Meir would agree with the chachamim that ein nishban al karkos, and that's going to be the explanation we're about to use in order to show that Rav Sheshes is incorrect. The nafkamin, the machlokas between Rav Meir and the chachamim is about grapes that are ready to be harvested. The mar sover kibitzurus damyan, umar sover lav kibitzurus damyan, that Rabbi Meir holds that you swear on such grapes because it's as if they've already been picked and therefore they don't have a din of karka. But lu yitzur, they had a din of karka, you would not swear on them. So you see, Rabbi Meir holds you don't swear on karka. And the chachamim would say you don't swear on these grapes because right now they haven't been picked off the ground. They're still attached to the ground and therefore they still have a din of karka. So we're back to square one in terms of trying to figure out. Again, we had our three kashas on our Mishnah where the Mishnah said that if a guy had beis avadim, echad gadol ve'echad katan, or beis sados, echad gadol ve'echad katan, and so we said that the mocher is going to have to take a shavua that in fact he sold the smaller one and not the larger one. So we had three kashas. First of all, second was Helach, and third, you don't take a Shavua on Avadim. So says the Gemara, what's going to be the answer? How are we going to explain all three of those kashas? So says the Gemara, Eliolam k'Rabbi Hoshea, go back to Rabbi Hoshea's explanation, which was four lines from the top on this Amud, where Rabbi Hoshea said that the Taina was Eved b'ksuso, the Sada Be'umreha, the Taina was not that you're just claiming an Eved, you're claiming an Eved and his clothing, and the response is that you sold me a larger, meaning someone claimed that you sold me a large Eved and his clothing, and he said, no, I only sold you a small Eved and his clothing. So since you're going to take a Shavua on the clothing, because that's a real Moda B'miktsas, therefore you're going to take a Shavua on the Eved as well. Aye, but we asked on that, the Kashalach Zokin Nitzrich. Wow, you need to teach me the Halach of Zokikin, that once you're swearing on Metalton, you can swear on Karka. Also, we already know Zokikin. So says, I might have thought that these are not viewed as two independent entities, that it's not a case of Zokikin over here. That when you're dealing with an Eved and his clothing, it's not that you're talking about clothing and an Eved. Eved and his clothing is one entity, and therefore I would have thought that it's as if the clothing were batal to the Eved, it's as if the sheaves were batal to the field, and therefore you would not swear on such a thing, because it primarily it's a din of karka or a din of an Eved, and it's not viewed as a separate entity. Kamashmalan therefore comes and tells me that no, these are two separate entities, and this would be subject to Zokakin. Okay, we're at the two dots. Zomarein Yodei v'Zomarein Yodei Yechloku. If both people say, I don't know, there's a quote from the Braisa, if both say, I don't know what was involved, meaning in terms of the mother and the baby, I don't know when the baby was born, so they divide it. So hamani sumchus this is assuming like sumchus that you divide whenever there's a doubt about money. Ema seifa, but then you see in the seifa it says zomer bereshusi v'zomer bereshusi. If each one says with the tainus bari, it happened in my reshus. Yishava hamocher sheberushus oyelda. The mocher just swears that the baby was born while it was in his reshus, and then he gets to keep it. But Rabbi Rav Huna damar in amar sumchus afilu bari ubari. But if you assume like Rabbi Rav Huna's shita that we had on Amun Aleph, who says that sumchus would maintain that you're cholkin even if both parties have a tainus bari, amayi shava mocher. Why should the mocher be able to swear in this case and be able to keep it? Yachlokum ibayi. We should say that you have to divide it. So that's the Gemara. Moda sumchus heikadika shvur daraisa udakatul yadagadarava. Sumchus is moda when there already is a case of a shvur daraisa, like over here, and plus it's not an issue of heilach, because cut the liada, because you've cut off the hand of the Eved, and therefore it's not a situation of heilach. Fine. New Mishnah. Hamocher zeis of the etzim. Let's say a person sells his olive trees, but not for the purpose of the buyer being able to use the olives, but rather for the purpose of the buyer to be able to chop down the trees and use the wood for firewood. Va'asu pachos miravius l'saha, and the olive trees, so long as they were still kept there, made a very small amount of oil. They still produced very few olives. They were able to make a very small amount of oil, meaning they weren't the best trees for growing olives. That's why he sold them for their etzim, but they produced something less than a revius for each sa'a. What does it mean, less than revius for each sa'a? Rashi says, Vasu zesim ra'im she'in bisa'a shebehen revius shemen. If you were to take a full sa'a of these olives, it wouldn't even produce one revius of shemen. The Ritva says that's impossible. There's no way a sa'a of olives can't produce a revius of shemen, no matter how bad they are. He says it must be that we're talking about a tree that under normal circumstances, if it were healthy and were whatever, it would have been able to grow enough to produce a sa'a of zesim. But now, since it's a bad tree, it's not good for growing olives, and it's not the strongest tree, therefore it's only producing pachos miravius. So then, harel shel bal zesim, then the buyer of the olive trees gets to keep that minimal amount of oil. But what if it produces a significant amount of oil, more than a revius for each sa'a, and the owner, the guy who bought the trees, says, well, my trees are the ones is what grew that amount of olives, and therefore I should get to keep the oil. The guy who owns the field where the trees are still standing because they have not yet been cut down says, what do you mean? It's my land that produced to growing, that contributed to the growing. So Yachlokus, so in such a case, they divide it. The Ritva points out this Yachloku is different than the previous Yachlokus. The previous Yachlokus we had, Hamani Sumchasi, we kept on saying, is going like the Shita of Sumchas, that it's Mamano Mutsub Savicholkin. Says the Ritva over here, this Yachloku is even according to the Rabbanan, who disagree with Sumchas, because it's not an issue of Mamano Mutsub Savic. It's an issue of Zevzegorim. It's an issue of each one has property that contributed to the growth of these olives and the production of this oil. And that's why they divide it, because they both own it. It's not that it's a suffix who the rightful owner is, and one person is really the rightful owner. So it would be even not like Sumchus, you would still say Yachloku. Says the Mishnah Vayeter, Shatav Nar Zesav Nasal Matel Ste Chavero. Let's say a river comes and overflows my field and is able to, through the force of the river, of the raging river, pulls up my olive trees from my field, and it lands them in someone else's field, and it plants my olive trees in someone else's field, Zomer Zesi Gadla, Zomer Arzi Gadla, and the olive trees produce olives. So the guy whose field they're in right now says, my land produced these olives. I, who had these olive trees uprooted from my field. Say it was my trees that produced those olives. Yachlaku. In that case also, you would divide it. Now, the Ritva says that if the Baal HaSada wants to tell the Baal HaZeisim, get your trees out of my field, he's allowed to tell the Baal HaZeisim that. We're going to see in the Gemara, the Baal HaZeisim cannot tell the Baal HaSada, I'm taking my trees back. That he's not allowed to do because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because you're not allowed to destroy Eretz Yisrael. So if there are already planted trees in the other guy's field, I can't tell him I'm taking my trees back. But, says the Ritva, the Baal HaSada can say, I don't want your trees in my field, and he can say, get your trees out of my field. However, the Ravid is Cholik. The Ravid says that it's not true. That the Ravid says that the just like the Baal HaZeisim cannot tell the Baal HaSada, I'm taking my trees out, the Baal HaSada cannot tell the Baal HaZeisim, I want you to get your trees out. So that's the Machlokas Rishonim over here. Okay, but either way, in terms of the olives that are there, if no one is removing the trees, so Yachloku, they divide the production of those trees. So Echidami, going back to the first case, I sold my zeisim for my olive trees for the purpose of you chopping down the trees and using the wood, and then you left the trees long enough that it produces some olives. So we said if it produces less than revius for each sa'a, the lokeach gets to keep it, and if it produces more than revius for each sa'a, so then we said yachloku, not that the mocha gets to keep it, but yachloku, that they divide it. So hechidami, what's the case? If when I sold you the trees, I told you I want these chopped down immediately, then even if it produces less than revius, shouldn't the balakarka have a taina that it's my karka that's producing it? Because you had no right to keep these trees here. I wanted them out of here. And Ida Amrle call Amos to buy his coats. If when I sold it to you, I said, cut them down at your convenience, whenever you want. Then the lokeach has every right to keep all the olives that it produces. He did nothing wrong. He's allowed to keep it there. And no matter how much it produces, the Baal HaZeisim should be able to keep it. So it says, he never gave him instructions about when he wants these trees removed from his property. So we assume less than a revius of oil for each sa'a, he's not going to be makbid about, and the Baal HaZeisim gets to keep. More than a revius, he is makbid about, and therefore yachloku. Now within the Gemara's Kasha, right, what was the Gemara's Kasha? If I tell you cut it down right away, not just the Kasha, this would be la halacha. If I tell you to cut it down right away, and you didn't, and then it produces zeisim. So what's the halacha? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, then even if it produces only pachos mirvis, it should still be lebalakarka. Now what does that mean, it should still be lebalakarka? That the balakarka gets all of it? Or that, no, that it should, that should have the same din as yoser mirvis, where the Mishnah said yachloku. Even if it were pachos mirvius, it should have the same din as more than revius, where the Gemara said yachloku. So the Rashba says that pachos mirvius would have the same din as more than revius, and it would be yachloku. If I tell you, get your trees out of my land immediately, and you don't, and it produces a lot of oil, yachloku, then we divide it, because your trees contributed to the growth, my land contributed to the growth, it would be the same thing as more than revius. And that, I guess, is logical in the sense that when you're dealing with an amount that I am makbid about, the halacha is yachloku. That's what the Mishnah had said. The Rambam, however, disagrees, and the Rambam says no, that if I told you to cut down your trees immediately and you didn't, you left it there, then I, the balakarka, gets to keep the entire, all of it. Not just to divide it, but I get to keep all of the zeisim, all of the oil that the zeisim produce. Now, what's the svara? Why do I get to keep all of it? Why don't we say achloku, just like a case where I'm makbid on the amount of oil that it produces? So the Evna Azel, Rav Yisrael Meltzer, explains that the Rambam holds that the taina of the Baal HaZeisim is Zeisi Gidlo, that my olive trees grew these olives. That only works when it's Stam, that the Baal HaSada is not Makbid on those Zeisim being in the field, on those trees being in the field. So then the Baal HaZeisim has a Zuchus in half of the Peros, because his trees also contributed to the growth of those Peros. But when I told the Lokeach, I don't want your trees in my field, then you have no right to leave them here at all. So if you had no right to leave them here at all, you're stealing the Yanika from my Karka. So I don't care that your trees contributed to the growth. Your trees had no right to contribute to the growth. They had no right to be here. And therefore, the balakarka is going to get to keep everything. Meir Simcha, along similar lines, explains that the Rambam's talking about when I tell you at the Shas Mechira, at the time of the sale, look, I'm selling you these trees, I want them out of here as soon as possible. So then, it's as if you made a tenai in the sale, that if you don't get them out of here as soon as possible, I'm zochet to all the balakarka, I'm zochet to everything that it produces. Ki'ilu, there was a tenai in the sale that that's what he would be zochet to. If there weren't such a tenai, or a ki'ilu such a tenai, then in a chinami, we would say that yachloku. But the Rambam holds that you don't say yachloku because we view it as if there were a tenai in the sale, that if you don't get them out of here, the balakarka is going to be zochet everything. Says Gemara Vayter, Amar Meshum and Pazi, Revi'a Sha'amru chutz min ha'otza'a. When we talk about this revi'is, it means a revi'is except for the expenses of the actual masika and atzira of what it takes to get the olives off the tree and make them usable. So whatever that expense is, whatever those expenses are, if there's a revius left over after those expenses have been covered, that's what we're talking about in the Mishnah with pachas mirevius and yosir mirevius. Shataf nahar zesav. So the Mishnah had said that if a river comes, it uproots my olive trees and it lands them in someone else's field, right? So the Mishnah had said that each guy tainas that the olives were grown by his. One guy says it's my trees, the other one says my field. So the halach is yachloku. Says the Gemara, Amar ula amar esh lakish lo shanu el shenakru begushehen ula achas shalosh. When do we say yachloku? That's only if the trees were uprooted together with a lot of the dirt around it, enough dirt around it that it could keep the tree alive from that dirt alone. So the trees were uprooted together with the dirt around it. And when do they start dividing the fruits that are produced by this tree? After 3 years from the time it was uprooted and replanted in the other guy's field. Aval b'toch shalosh, but within the first 3 years that it's planted in the other person's field, hakol shel bal hazeisim, the owner of the trees gets to keep everything, not the owner of the karka. Why? Because the owner of the trees can tell the owner of the karka, look, if you would have planted your own trees, for 3 years you wouldn't have been allowed to eat. There's a halacha called arla. For 3 years it would have been asabana for you. So because it was my trees that had already been planted, and there's no arla problem because they're already old trees, the produce of the first 3 years should belong to me. It's something you never would have been able to get for yourself anyhow. After 3 years, we'll divide. But the first 3 years, it should belong totally to me. That's Ula's Chiddush in the name Reish Lakish. Says the Gemara, but Vilei Malei, why can't the owner of the karka where the trees currently are respond? No. What do you mean? If I would have planted my own trees, you're right, the first 3 years I would have had nothing. But after 3 years, I would have had everything. I wouldn't have had to divide my fruits with anybody. Now you're going to take half of my fruits. So just like you want to take half of my fruits after 3 years, so before 3 years, I want to take half of your fruits. I mean, you're right. You have a taina that in the first 3 years, I wouldn't have been able to eat anything, and therefore you want everything. Well, I have a taina that after 3 years, you wouldn't have been able to have anything because I would have been able to have everything, and therefore I want to divide all through. I want to divide even in the first 3 years. That could be the taina that he says back to him. That's how Tosfos explains. What would I have done? I would have bought small saplings that would have cost very little money, so don't worry about what kind of expense I would have had to incur in order to be able to plant such trees. It would have cost almost nothing. After 3 years, they would have grown into nice big trees. And they would have been able to produce fruits, just like your olive trees produce fruits. But I didn't do that. I allowed you to keep your zesim in my karka. I never got rid of them. Pshita, which assumes, by the way, sounds very much, that Tosfos assumes, like we said at the Ritva holds, that the Bala Sada could have said, get your zesim out of my field, but he didn't. I let you keep him in my field. Pshita shlo inachtim l'dasha tochli miachar shalosh elim kein ochel gamani imach Toch shalosh. It's pashut that my intention is not that I should be able to only split it with you after 3 and not eat anything in the first 3 years. I'm only letting you keep these trees in my field and not planting my own trees because I think in the next 3 years I'm going to be able to benefit from it. If I'm unable to benefit from it for 3 years, well, I could have done that on my own. I could have planted my own trees. That's the taina he says back to him. Now, why does it mention that it was nekru b'gushehen, that it was uprooted together with the gush, with the dirt around the tree? Why is that at all critical? So it says Tosos in the top Tosos, nakarachi mishum toch shalosh dimlokein avo arla, meaning if the tree were uprooted and none of the dirt around the tree were uprooted with it, and then the tree were replanted somewhere else, the arla cheshbon would start again. So the first 3 years that it's replanted, it would be asur mishum arla. So Nekru B'Gushein solves the problem of Arla. If you look in the Aleph of the Hagos Sagra, he says, Aval Ramam Kasav Dubalo G'Shein HaKala Balakarka. The Ramam says, no, had it not been for the Gush being uprooted together with the tree, so the Bala Sada could tell the Bala Ilanos, your Ilanos were goners without my field. Meaning, that without Gush around it, they couldn't have survived a day. So they would have been destroyed anyway. So therefore, everything belongs to me. Sorry. Right? That's how the Rambam holds. That's why it has to be Gushehen. A different reason. Not nothing to do with Arla. Just because otherwise, the Balha Ilanos has no taina whatsoever. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. So, Ella Kiyasa Ravnam Reish Lakish. So Ravin said in the name of Reish Lakish. Again, the first Deya was Ula in the name of Reish Lakish. That the din of Yachloku of the Balha Sada and the Balha Ilanos dividing is only after the first 3 years that it's there, but in the first 3 years the Bala Ilanos gets everything. But we rejected that because the Bala Sada is a good taina. Why do you think I let you keep your trees here for the first 3 years? I could have made my own fruits for after 3 years if I was only going to benefit after 3 years. I want some benefit within 3 years. So says Gemara a different day. Elokiyasa Ravin Am Reish Lakish. Ravin said in the name of Reish Lakish, Lo Shanu El Shenekru B'Gusheinu B'Toch Shalosh. That when do we say Yachloku? Within the first 3 years, we say they divide. Avliachar shalosh hakalu balakarka. But after 3 years, the balakarka gets all of the produce of those trees. Damrlei iyanan atay liachar shalosh milo hava achilna lekule. Because after all, the balakarka can say, had I planted my own trees, after 3 years, I would have gotten all of the produce, and it would have produced just as much as your trees are producing. I would have gotten everything. So therefore, after 3 years, I'm entitled to everything. First 3 years, yachloku will divide it. So says the Gemara, but wait, v'lei malei, why can't the Bal HaYilano say to the Bal HaSada, what do you mean? Iyat natata b'toch shalosh lo v'achalta. Hashak ha'achalta b'halga b'adai? That if you would have planted your own trees, you're right, after 3 years you would have gotten everything. But in the first 3 years, you would have gotten nothing. So why should you be entitled to divide with me the fruits of the first 3 years? First 3 years you would have gotten nothing. I should get all the fruits of the first 3 years. Because he could respond to him, you're right, that if I would have planted my own trees in the first 3 years, I would not have gotten anything from them, but I would have been able to plant other things around the trees. If I would have planted my own trees, there would have been small saplings that I would have planted, and therefore, I would have been able to plant around it beets and other greenery. I would have been able to make a nice little vegetable garden right around those trees. Now that you have these big, enormous trees that were landed in my field, I couldn't plant anything else there, and therefore I lost out. So to compensate me for losing out on that on what I could have planted, I want to be cholik in the zesim for those first 3 years. Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Michel Shlomo points out that if this sounds like the maskana of the Gemara, it makes the lashon of the Mishnah not really so meduyak. Because what does the Mishnah say? Shatav nar zesav v'nasan toch stei chavero. What's each person's taina? Right, so according to the maskana of the Gemara, the taina of the Bala Ilanos should be it's my Ilanos that grew those fruits. What should the taina of the balakarka be? You're right, it's your Ilanos that grew those fruits, but I'm losing out on other possible sources of revenue for myself. I could have produced my own vegetable garden. What does he say? Zeomer zesi gadlu, that's good. Vizeomer artsi gadla. Right, the Mishnah sounds like the whole taina of the Bal HaSada is, my land produced those fruits that's growing on those trees. Although in the Gemara's final analysis, that doesn't seem at all his taina. His taina is not that his land produced the fruits growing on the trees; that I could have made something else in that place in if I were planting my own trees, and now I'm losing out on that. So that's the kasha of Shlomo Zalman. So you see that there's got to be something more over here. It's not just that he's losing out on the ability to plant the garden; it's that primarily it's still his land that's contributing to those fruits. If not for that fact, then all of these tainas would be out the window. Tana, Amra la zeisai ani notel ein shomelo. So I mentioned before, if the owner of the tree says, you know what, I'm taking my trees out of your land, I want them back. So he's not allowed to do that. My time, why is he not allowed to do that? Am Rabbi Yochanan mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says he's not allowed to do that because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He's not allowed to destroy Eretz Yisrael in such a way by uprooting trees from someone else's land. Am Rabbi Yirmiyah Gonda Tzricha Rabbi. He says, wow, we need a big Talmud Chacham to teach us that din. We never would have figured that out on our own, that this is Dafka din in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now the Torah writes, because it's a din in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, this halacha is only true in Eretz Yisrael. But in Chutz La'aretz, if my trees were uprooted from my field and brought into your field and planted there, I could say, I want my trees back, because it's no issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's what you would assume, Davar Pashut. However, the Shita Mekubetzes quotes from the Ramach that even in Chutz La'aretz, I'm not allowed to take my trees back. Since it's Jewish-owned land, and the Pasuk says, V'darshu Shalom Ha'ir Asher Haglesi Eschem Shama, that you should be concerned about the overall well-being of a city where you're in Golus as well. So even in Bavel, even in Chutz La'aretz, the halach would still be the same. And the Meiri quotes that there are poskim that say this in Chutz La'aretz also. The Gemara says, Beferish Soli Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It means Mishum Yishuv Yisrael. It's because a Jew lives there, not Eretz Yisrael Dafka. Obviously not the Pashas. The Pashas, like the Torah, this is Dafka Adin in Eretz Yisrael. Tanan Hasam, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, on a totally unrelated note, other than the fact that we're about to learn another halacha that we really need an Adam Gadol to teach us that we would not have otherwise known. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamakabel Sada Avosav Min Anachri. If you are Makabel as a worker, as a sharecropper, a family plot from a guy who currently owns it, Ma'aser V'nosin Lo. You have to take Maestros on the whole land, and you give the Nachri his chelek. So if it has 100 bushels of wheat that it produces, you take Maestros on all 100, and you give the Nachri 50 at the end. Savrua, my Steavosav Eretz Yisrael. We're assuming Steavosav doesn't mean any land that you are particularly connected to. It just means lands of Eretz Yisrael. Va'amai Korlu Steavosav. Why do we refer to that as Steavosav? Stay Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Because the lands of Eretz Yisrael are all Steavosav. They're Stay Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. V'kasavar, and we're assuming Ein kinyan lenachri b'Eretz Yisrael lefkia mian meiser. That even when a guy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, the chiyuv of meisros is still intact. Umekabel kechocher dami, and someone who's working as a sharecropper is just like a chocher is someone who rents the rights to work in a field and keep all the produce of the field. Ma chocher bein aved bein lo aved ba yisuri meitamei. Just like a chocher, when he's working in the field, whatever it produces, he's going to have to pay the rent. He's going to have to pay X amount, and therefore all of the produce is considered his, and therefore he needs to take maestros on all of the produce. Dichi parei chovasodami, because he's paying money that he owes just to rent the field. Af mekabel nami, so we're assuming the same is true of a sharecropper. Ki parei chovasodami masav nosin lo, that he has to do the same thing, that he has to take maestros on the entire field, even though half of the produce is going to end up being given to the guy, that we're assuming that he's going to have the same din as the chocher. Amalei Rav Kana, Rav Papi, Ramila, Rav Zvid, Elahad Tanya, that which we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Yudomer, Mekabel Stei Avosav, Meitzik Nachri, Maaser V'Nosin Lo, that if you receive a Stei Avosav from a bad guy, from a guy who's mean and powerful, so you take all the maestros and you give him his portion, Mayir Meitzik, Afilein Meitzik Nami, according to what we're saying, forget about the guy that's powerful and mean. Even if he's just a regular guy, that would be the halacha. So says Umar El Eliolam, so he says, no, our analysis was totally off. The case is totally different.
Yesh kinin l'nachi b'Eretz Yisrael afkiyad miyad meiser. If a guy owns a field in Eretz Yisrael, there's no chiyuv of trumas or meisros. U'mekabel lav kichocher. I mean, really, if someone is a sharecropper, he does not have a din of a chocher, who pays a rental payment and gets to keep all the produce. U'may steyavosav. And what does steyavosav mean? Steyavosav mamish. It doesn't mean just stam any land in Eretz Yisrael. It means your ancestral land that right now is in the hands of Goyim. And it's dafka if the guy asks you to be the sharecropper on your ancestral land, that's where we're going to make a knas on you, that you're going to have to take maisos for the entire land, even for the portion that you're going to give to the guy, and you're going to pay him in full. Why? Since you love that land so much, you're going to be interested in doing this anyway. You'll be interested in taking on this sharecropping arrangement, even though it's such a non-profitable type of arrangement, because you have to take maestros and everything, and you're going to give the guy his full portion. But nobody else in their right mind would be willing to do it. So if it's not your stay avosav, we're not going to make you take maestros and everything, even the portion that you give to the guy, which isn't even chayiv in maestros. We're only going to make you take maestros in your portion normally. But if it's your ancestral land, so you'll live with such an arrangement, because you love the land so much. Frankly, Gemara, it's nice, you love the land so much, but still, why are we punishing you just because it's your ancestral land? Uludidei, my time of Kansura Rabbanan. What did you do wrong? Why do you have to take maestros on the entire field and then give the guy his full portion just because it's land that was owned by your grandparents? Some Rabbi Yochanan Kadei Shete Baraviyado. Now we're doing this to motivate you to buy the field back. We want to make the arrangement such that it's not profitable for you to keep it this way, and therefore you're going to try to raise enough money to buy the land back from the guy to bring it back into your family. So that's how Chazal motivated you to do that. That's Rashi's explanation of Baraviyado. If you look at the Tosos, the last Tosos on the page, in the last skinny line, Rach Garis Shetehe Bura biyado pirush lahachi comes to the yarishi asr es chelak hanachri. The reason you have to take maestros, even on the portion you're giving to the guy, is kadeshi aniach milakabla, is to discourage you from working on that field. V'kivin shte bura biyada nachri shle yirtzu lakabla imenu al yidei kein yimkarena li Yisrael bedam muatin. That since you're not going to be working in that field, then the guy is not going to be able to find anybody who's going to be able to work as a kabbalin in the field. He's going to end up having no choice but to do what? To sell it to a Jew, because he's not going to be able to keep the field and just hire a sharecropper, because if he tries to hire you, the guy whose grandfather owned the field, so it's going to be such a terrible arrangement for you. You're going to have to take maestros and everything. So you're not going to want to take over that field. And if he's going to try to hire some other Jew, well, we'll just tell them, don't take that field. It's owned by a guy. We want to encourage the guy to sell. Now, why can't we just tell you don't take the kablanos, and because we're trying to encourage the guy to sell? Because you're very attached to that field. You're not going to just turn down the kablanos. You're going to say, no, I want to be there. I want to work on the field. So we have to make the arrangement terrible for you so that you'll be able to turn down the kablanos. So the rachs is totally different. That what we're trying to motivate is that nobody, no Jew, should be a kablan in that field so long as a guy still owns that field. And that way, the guy will have no choice but to get rid of the field, and he'll sell it for a cheap price to a Jew, and then we'll have it back in Jewish hands. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar b'Yirmiya, kigon da tzricha rabba. Such an explanation needs an Adam Gadol to tell us such an explanation. That's why we quoted this whole discussion, just for that line, because we just had that same line about the previous discussion, which relates to Harmasevta. Itmar. If someone goes into another person's field and he plants there without permission, so Rav says we do an evaluation, and the guy who planted has the lower hand, meaning if the improvement of the land is greater than the expense in planting, so he only gets the expense. If the expense is greater than the improvement, he only gets paid for the improvement. Shmuel says, no, we just do a basic analysis of how much a person would pay for this service, to have someone plant their land for them. Amra papav lo pligi. They're not even arguing. Kan besada hasuyalita. Shmuel, when he says we look at how much a person would pay to have someone plant, is dealing with a field that was asuyalita, that's really made for trees to be planted in it, and is better than having zra'im in it, is having trees in it. And Kan, Rav was talking about besada shein asuyalita, a field that was better not having trees put in it, so then it's going to be yadol tachtona. V'had Rav lav beferish et mar al mechalit var. And even Rav's statement was not said beferish; it had to be derived from something else he said. Tahuda asal kamei de Rav, because someone came to Rav, amrle zil shumle. Right, someone came to Rav with a taina. This guy came and he planted my field, and the guy wants to get paid. What do I pay him? So Rav said, "Well, go evaluate how much you would pay for it." Amrle lo beina. The guy said, "But I wouldn't pay anything. I don't want this. I don't want these trees in my field. This was a field that was meant for grain. The guy planted trees all over it. I'm not happy about it." Rav said, no, evaluate which is less, the expense or the shevach, and give him the lower amount. I'm not telling you to pay him a high amount, give him the lower of the two. So I'm like, Lobi'ina. The guy said, no, you don't understand. I really didn't want this done in my field. I don't want these trees in my field. Why should I have to pay him for a service of planting, even if it's going to be the lower amount? I don't want to pay him that. So the Sof Chazid the God of Kamantale. So eventually, they noticed that the guy never uprooted the trees. He built a fence around the trees, and he started, working with the trees, and so Amalei Galisa Daitach Denichalach. So Rav told the guy, "Oh, apparently you do want it." So Zil Shumle V'Yado Al Aliona. So go and evaluate, and now it's going to be Yado Al Aliona. Now you have to pay him for the greater of the two, because it's as if you hired him to do the work for you because you wanted him to be there. Itmar, Hayori L'Toch Chorvaso Shel Chaveru Bana Shelo Bereshuso. Let's say I go into someone else's churva, the ruins of someone else's property, and I go and I build it Shelo Bereshuso without getting any reshus from the owner of the property. Va'amrlo Eitzai Va'avanai Ani Notel. And then I say to him, you know what, I want to take back my wood and my stones that I used to, my building materials that I used to build a house in your property. Rav Nachman Amar Shomenlo, Rav Shesh Samarain Shomenlo. Machlokas, if he's allowed to take back the materials. Meisvei, Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Veshami Amar Shomenlo. Rav Shimon Gamliel reported that Beis Shammai says he's allowed to take back the materials. Beis Hillel says he's not. So wait a second. So when Rav Nachman says that he's allowed to take back the materials, does that mean that Rav Nachman paskins like Beis Shammai? That wouldn't be good. So says Gemara, no. Who damer ki aitana? Rav Nachman learned the following brisa. Tanya, where we have in the brisa, Shomen lo divrei Rav Shimon Elazar. The Rav Shimon Elazar holds that everybody agrees, Shomen lo, that he's allowed to take back the material. So Rav Nachman says, I hold like Rav Shimon Elazar, that everybody agrees he's allowed to take back the material. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer beishami omer Shomen lo beisilo omer main Shomen lo. Rav Shimon Gamliel thinks it's machlokas beishami beisilo, and it's only beishami who says that he's allowed to take back the material. But says Rav Nachman, I hold like Rav Shimon Elazar, that it's not a machlokas beishami beisilo, but everyone agrees he's allowed to take back the material. May havila, end of the day, what do we paskin? I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Bebayis Shomen lo. Besada ain Shomen lo. When it comes to going into a churva and building a house, if the guy wants to take back the material, so Shomen lo, we allow him to go take back the material. But a field, if you went and you planted in someone else's field, ain Shomen lo. You can't go and say you want to take back your trees. Besada my time, why can't you go into the field and say you want to take back your trees? So, similar answer as what we had before, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because you're going to go and destroy Eretz Yisrael by uprooting trees from people's properties. Where did we have that? We had that regarding not me planting in someone else's field, but regarding a river that came and uprooted Reuven's trees and dropped them in Shimon's field. So we said, Reuven can't say, I want my trees back. Right? That's where we had it before, because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now we're saying, even if Reuven Bedafka went and planted in Shimon's field, and Reuven wants his trees back, he's not allowed to take it back, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Ika Diarmi. And another explanation why you can't take it back is Mishum Kach Shadiara, that so long as my trees were I planted trees in his field, it's weakening his land. So if I uproot those trees, I weaken his land and he's got nothing to show for it. So that's why it's not right. My Binai, what's the Nafkamina between these two reasons? Ika Binai Chutz La'aretz. Nafkamina is if you're dealing in Chutz La'aretz. Right? Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's no issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Right, certainly over here, there's no room for debate like there was in the previous Gemara. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's no Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but there's still the Kach Shadiara, the fact that the land was weakened on account of him being there. Says Tosfos, even though we already learned this idea of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, over here, we're teaching, it says tells us, Avogav de Kvarash Mina Lael Rabbi Yochanan Gufei, the time of the Brisa, the Mamrin Notel Zeisei and Shomelam Yishuv Yisrael. So Rabbi Yochanan himself taught us that the same exact idea of Yishuv Yisrael previously, It needs to teach me over here again, because to introduce this new idea that there's also a concept of kach shadiyara, of weakening the guy's land, and therefore even if we're in chutz laaretz, I'm not allowed to take back the trees. But previously it was only in Eretz Yisrael dikadin that I'm not allowed to take back the trees because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Mishum dekach shadiyara lo asa biyadayim elam emela yideshtiv sanar nasa. Isn't there kach shadiyara in that case also? When the river comes and uproots Reuven's trees and plants them in Shimon's fields, shouldn't one of the reasons Reuven can't take the trees back also be mishum kach shadiyara? Because after all, he's weakening Shimon's land. So why is that not a concern over there? Why is it only a concern when I go and I plant in somebody else's land? So says Tosfos, it's not a concern because it's not something that you're really doing via dayim. So it happened mimela, meaning if the river just came and deposited my trees in your land, it happened mimela. So I can't be held responsible for the kach shadiyara. I didn't do the kach shadiyara, right? So I can't be held responsible for that. So if it were chutz laaretz, I'd be able to take my trees back. But over here, I went and I planted in your land. So I did it via dayim. I weakened your land via dayim. Therefore, I have to keep my trees there, even the chutz laaretz. Says the Mishnah, maske bayis l'chaver b'mosag sham men yechol tziyom in achag v'yad ha-pesach. The guy rents a house to his friend during the winter months. He's not allowed to throw him out between Sukkot and Pesach. B'mosag chamash shloshim yom. During the summer months, he's got 30 days. So b'krachim, echad y'mosag chamah v'echad y'mosag sham shnei masag chodesh. And in krachim, in large cities, whether it be winter months, whether it be smaller, whether it be summer months, where the krachim are large cities where real estate is in demand and it's not easy to find places to rent, so then you get 12 months. You have to give them 12 months' notice. And when it comes to stores, you always have to give 12 months' notice on a rental of a store. That a store of a baker or a dyer, you need to give him 3 years. And the Gemara is going to explain, because he very often has a lot of he has a lot of accounts that people owe him money from that will take a lot of time to collect. And if people don't know where to find him, it's going to be very difficult for him to ever collect his money. So you need to give him 3 years' notice so he can tell all of his new customers that I'm not going to be here that much longer. So frankly, why dafka during the winter months? What's special about the winter months? The chiyagur in shbeisli be mosag sham agur lekuli mosag sham. What's unique about the winter months? That when I rent something for the winter months, it's for all of the winter. It's understood that it's for all of winter. Mosag chamanami the chiyagur in shbeisli lekuli mosag chamagar. When you rent a place for the summer, generally it's understood that it's for all of summer as well. No, the real reason Yimosag Shamim is different is because it's not easy to find a place to live during the winter. Ema Seifa, but then it says in the Seifa, B'krachim echad Yimosag Chama v'echad Yimosag Shamim shnei masar chodesh, that in large cities you always have to give 12 months warning. But it sounds like that if the days of the Schirus are up during the winter, you're still allowed to evict him, you're allowed to throw him out. Why should that be allowed? He's not going to be able to find another place to live. What does 12 months help you? Why is the assumption that in a large city the lease is a 12-month lease? Why does that help if in the end of the day you're still going to throw him out in the middle of the winter and there's not going to be anywhere else for the guy to find a place to live? So says Maram Rav Yehuda lo diakatani. No, we're not talking about how long the lease is for. We're talking about how much notice you have to give him before you evict him. If I rent a house to my friend Stam, I'm not allowed to throw him out during the winter months, unless I let him know 30 days in advance, before the winter. When we say 30 days, or we say 12 months, we're talking about how much time in advance I need to warn him that he's got to find a new place to live. And just like the landlord has to let the renter know, the guy living there know, the guy who's living there has to let the landlord know if he plans on moving. Because the landlord could say, if you would have given me notice, I would have found someone else to rent out the property. Now it's sitting there and I'm not making any money off of it. If there was one day of winter, after, so that's it. You can't throw him out until Pesach. V'anan shloshim yom kamar, but didn't we say 30 days notice? Sachi kamar. Im nichnas yom echad b'mosa gishom mehani shloshim yom, in yochel otzi yom elachag v'ad ha-Pesach. It means, if you didn't give him 30 days notice prior to Sukkot, 30 days before the winter started, you're not going to be allowed to throw him out until Pesach. If I want to raise rent prices, that I could do, right? If I want to get the guy out of there, I can't throw him out, but I could raise the rent. So what do you mean? That's mugging him. What do you're going to raise rent? That's the same thing as throwing him out. What do you mean you're not allowed to throw him out, but you can raise rent? So you charge $1 million of rent? How are you allowed to do that? So no, we're dealing with a case where rentals in general went up. The prices of rentals went up. Says Mar Pshita Nafal Lebesa Amalei Lo Adifta Minai. Clearly, if the landlord's own house fell down and he has nowhere to live, he could tell the guy who's renting his other house, get out, because you should have no more zechuyos than I have. I want to live there. Zavneo orte yihavim matana. If he sold his house or yarshined it or gave it as a matana, amlei lo adifta megaver da asas mine. Then the guy living there could tell the new landlord, you should have no more rights than the person who you bought it from, and therefore you can't throw me out. What if the landlord married off his son and he wants a house for his son to live in? So if he could have given him notice, so he had to have given him notice. And if not, then the guy can say, you're no better than the landlord could say, if he had no way of letting him know, he could say, you're no better than me, and therefore, I want my son to live there. Hahu gavra, the Zavan Arba de Chamra, a guy sold a boatload of wine, bought a boatload of wine. He had nowhere to keep his wine. He finds a nice woman. He says, is there anywhere that you can rent me space to keep my wine? She said, no. Azul Kitchi said, what if I marry you? And he was Makadish her. She says, for my husband, I found a nice place to keep the wine. Azul Bese, Kasla Gita Shadala. As soon as he found a place to keep the wine, he went home and wrote a get to divorce her. Azla Ihia Agra Shuklai Mineyube. She said, Tuka play at this game, so she hires people, movers, to take the wine out of her property, and they took it out and dumped it on the side of the street, and she paid those movers with the wine. She told them, you can keep a couple of barrels of the wine as your payment. Rav Yeshua says he got what he deserves, and that's not only true in a case where it's a chatzah that was not meant to be rented out for storage, even if it was meant to be rented out for storage, she could say, I would rent it to somebody else, not to you, to Demisa the Kiari Arva, because you're a miserable guy. You marry me just to keep for the storage, and then you divorce me as soon as I give you the storage. The Nachtamim and the Tzavanim get 3 years of advance notice, because they lend on a lot of credit. Okay.